You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at the political history of the word elite.
First, the upcoming spring election in Wisconsin in April features mostly local offices and candidates, but there are two statewide races on the ballot that our next guest says could further the state's shift to the right. In the wake of the election, which gave Republicans historic majorities in the Assembly and in the Senate, he says that the last resort of Wisconsin's left has been the court system, and now a Republican Supreme Court justice is running unopposed.
Avner Zarny joins us. Joins us now. He's a longtime Wisconsinite who's semi-retired from the aerospace industry. He's an ordained rabbi and contributor for PJ Media. Avner, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
So this is not one of your high-profile elections, these spring elections in Wisconsin, but a couple of important races. A big picture, why do you think these elections will continue Wisconsin's shift to the right?
Well, it's very interesting. If you take a look at the general pattern as it's been playing out in the country, I've often said for many years that Wisconsin is in many ways a microcosm of the United States. So we've always been on the knife's edge, 50% Democrat, 50% Republican, and of course things have always swayed back and forth. But 2010 was a very real sea change in that, if you think about it, just before the November election, all but one statewide office were in Democratic hands. The only one that wasn't was the Attorney General. When the dust settled after the election was over, all but three statewide offices were now in Republican hands, and the Republicans had shifted the control of the legislature completely, which had previously been had Democratic majorities in both houses. So that's a quite incredible shift for just one election. And the fact of the matter is that it's not been balanced out. It's been continuing ever since then. In the 2012 election, the 2014 election, of course, there was the recall of Governor Walker, and now the 2016 election, the Republicans have retained control of all of the major organs in the state.
And then we've got these hypothetically nonpartisan elections, things like superintendent of education and state Supreme Court. In reality, these are pretty much partisan proxy wars, aren't they?
Well, of course that's true. It's certainly become more and more true. It was once the case. There's a famous quotation from the late George Wallace that I think actually used to have some validity. He once said that there's not a dime's worth of difference between them, when he was speaking about the Republicans and the Democrats, and the reason was that both parties were simply vehicles for getting people elected. That certainly has changed over the last 50 years or so, and both parties have become much more ideological, both on the national level and also on the state level, and I think that it's showing.
Do you think that's a good thing, that we have a distinct ideological choice versus, two closer to the center parties that mainly just want to get elected?
Not necessarily, because it makes it harder and harder for them to be able to unify the electorate once it's over. If in the previous scenario, if you had two parties that were more or less to the center, one slightly right of center, one slightly left of center, maybe, and one of them won, so if one of them won, it somehow wasn't a catastrophe to the other side that he had won. As things are right now, I think that there are very significant elements on both sides that view each election as a war. I certainly think that that's playing out in the presidential election, and I think that we saw it in the governor's election as well.
Talking to Avner Zarny about a rightward trend in Wisconsin politics and how that'll play out in the spring elections. Avner, we know one pretty sure outcome of the spring election. There's one candidate, the incumbent for the Supreme Court slot, somebody who's generally referred to as in the conservative majority there. So that's probably a win for Republicans and conservatives. Let's look at the superintendent of education race. Tony Evers, generally viewed more sympathetic to teachers and on the Democratic side of things, opposed to Republican initiatives related to school choice. What do you see playing out in that race?
once again, you've got Tony Evers. The Republicans have two viable and credible candidates running in the primary election. Dr. Holtz, who was an award-winning school superintendent, retired school superintendent, and Mr. Humphreys, who is a school administrator at the moment, and I think it's in Dodgeville. So at any rate, they, as you say, they're very definitely on the other side of the divide from Mr. Evers. Mr. Evers has been very sympathetic towards the teachers' union, and therefore towards the public schools. Both Mr. Humphreys and Dr. Holtz have made very clear their support for school choice, for the idea that there has to be some sort of competition established in order to allow people to be able to make a reasonable choice about where it is to send their children, that their children aren't forced to go to a potentially substandard public school just because of the neighborhood that they live in.
And Avner, you see this rightward trend in Wisconsin in your piece on PJ Media. We've got it linked, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page. You see this as for the benefit of the state. How is Wisconsin benefiting, as you see it, from a rightward trend?
Well, I think that there's little doubt that the last Doyle administration left the state in quite a bind. We had a $3.6 billion budget deficit. That's unconstitutional in the state of Wisconsin. Spending was going up and up. Businesses were spiraling out of the state. There were numerous businesses that left, numerous others that threatened to leave. One of the major reasons was because of that piece of legislation that was passed again in the last Doyle administration that required any business headquartered in Wisconsin that operations outside of the state to be doubly taxed. It was clear that the Democratic side had run out of new ideas, and so consequently, when Mr. Walker came into office with a whole set of campaign promises, he did something very refreshing. He actually kept them, or he tried to, and kept as many of them as he could. Perhaps the one rash promise that he had made was that one about creating 250,000 jobs, because it's not the government's business creating jobs. It's the government's business creating an environment to create jobs, and the federal environment has something to do with that, too. Nonetheless, he was able to balance the budget. He was able to do it without raising taxes. We've been able to reduce the overall tax burden and at the same time keep the state functioning and keep it functioning quite well. I believe that the UW system has the highest budget it's ever had, for example.
We'll leave it there for now. Avner, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, you're most welcome.
That's Avner Zarmi, longtime Wisconsinite. He's semi-retired from the aerospace industry. We've been talking about a piece he wrote for PJ Media on the rightward trend in Wisconsin politics. You can find a link to that piece on the Central Time Facebook page.